Let's take our Bibles and go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And we're just going to walk through this a little bit, this chapter, not the whole chapter, but some sections that I believe will go well with what God has been doing in this meeting already. And I hope you can already sense the theme, really, that was not planned by anyone but the Lord. And when the Lord plans something, it's beautiful. Because he gets all the glory. And he should anyway, right? And so we've got a young man that's just come back from 2 weeks of training and preaching. We have a young man who's one young man had come back from 12 weeks of serving the Lord this summer. And, Jay could have done a lot of things. And this is not to give Jay a big head, but this is to say to God be the glory. He could have done a lot of things with his summer. And God led him to give 12 weeks of his life. But that 12 weeks is not in vain. Because when it's done for the Lord, there's great blessing in it. And we have both of these young men that are headed off to Bible college in less than a month. We're laboring here. They're going there where they're going, one in California, one in Tennessee. We have two teenagers getting baptized last week. This is not something to take lightly. This is something to really praise God over. Now, in all of this, we know we have an enemy. I don't want to give him any more credit than a lot of people give him. But we do have an enemy that isn't in favor of any of what we just talked about. What we see up here, presentations, people serving the Lord. Yesterday, going out with gospel tracts to the SkyTrain. Going house to house in North Burnaby and giving out gospel tracts. You have an enemy that doesn't like any of that. Friday night, a great gospel meeting was here in Spanish. We give God the glory for that. We have an enemy that doesn't like that. 4 o'clock today, a gospel message in Farsi. And God doesn't like that. Or the enemy doesn't like that. Because God loves it. Pardon me. In Acts chapter number 8, there's a lot that's happening. We don't have time to tell all of it. But I believe we'll see a few things here that can tie all of this together to the glory of God. Look at verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. It's in the previous verses. Remember, the Bible didn't have chapter divisions, so you could read about that in the previous verses. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Notice, and they were scattered. Would you circle that word, scattered? Scattered. You know, Brother Kevin just said, God did not save us just to sit in church. God saved us to go. God saved us to go possibly to our neighbor, to our coworker, to our schoolmate, to our family member, to a stranger that we meet every day. We meet people unless we're at home. And sometimes even when we're at home, we have a delivery maid. They need the gospel. And God told the early Christians to go. We won't go to it, but there's a great commission given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and in Acts. The great commission is given. And you know what's happening, though? In the early church in Jerusalem, they weren't listening. That's what's happening here. They were staying at home, if you will. And the only way to get them to go was to bring persecution. So that's that word scattered. That's the thought here is because of the persecution, the church was scattered. God even used challenging, difficult situations to accomplish his purpose. Notice where they went. Regions of Judea and Samaria. You might want to circle or underline Judea and Samaria and put 1:8. Acts 1:8. Because in Acts 1:8 it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea. and then Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. But they weren't doing that. They weren't doing Acts 1:8 until Acts 8:1. What was the difference? The difference was God took a guy by the name of Saul, the main one, but there was a lot of other people, and he made things very uncomfortable. He chastised them, basically. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now, this word therefore, again, you've heard this before, because of what we just read about, therefore something happens. Look, don't allow anything that God has allowed, don't allow what God has allowed into your life to just fall on the ground. Take what God is allowing into your life and my life and say, God, you've allowed something into my life, and therefore, maybe we have to go to God and we have to say, God, I don't even know what it's there for. God, I'm willing to learn whatever this has happened in my life. I don't know why it's here fully, but I want to learn from it. That's exactly what it's saying here. Therefore, because of the persecution, because of Saul and others wreaking havoc on the church, therefore, notice, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What did they do? Preaching the word. Who did it? They that were scattered. What, do you think it was only the pastors? Yes or no? I don't think so. Do you think it was only the elite groups? Whatever that is. No, I don't think so. It says everyone that was scattered went with one message. Look, we go out of here on Sunday morning. We go out of there on Sunday night. Thank you for your willingness to be like the Israelites and be moving back and forth and bringing our tent everywhere we go. And we go out of here on Wednesday night, and we go out of here on Friday night, and we are scattered into this world. What should we be scattered into this world doing? Same thing that happened in Acts 8. We should be fulfilling Acts 8:1 or 1:8 because of what is happening here in Acts chapter 8. We are scattered, pardon me, we are scattered abroad on those service times that I mentioned, and we need to go with the gospel. Excuse me. Everywhere, preaching the word. Then, notice, then Philip. Philip is a Grecian gentleman. He goes down to the city of Samaria. Does that sound familiar? You also find that in Acts 1:8. So you might want to underline that one too, just like Judea Samaria, or just be reminded of it. So now, think of this, now we're seeing the fulfillment of Acts 1:8 because of this persecution. We're seeing it happen in real time. I mean, we're looking back, but can you imagine what it would have been like to be the church in Jerusalem there and be under persecution and be facing challenges and difficulties and all that's going on, and yet all of a sudden, finally, you know, it worked. Whatever God was doing, it worked in their heart and mind. Philip went down to Samaria. What did Philip do? Preach Christ. Look at verse 5. Everybody went abroad preaching the word. Philip went to Samaria preaching the word. And the people of where? Samaria, verse 6, are you with me? With one accord gave heed. They paid attention. See, when Philip obeyed God and Philip went with the message of God, God gave the increase. They were not paying attention to Philip. Listen, it doesn't matter your personality. It doesn't matter how you give a word. You might stutter a little bit. You might not have the confidence that somebody else might have. Don't focus on that. Focus on God. Focus on the Spirit of God that is in you. They gave heed, not to Philip. They gave heed to the truth. And that's exactly what we want to do as we go out of here every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, every Friday, as we're scattered out. When you leave your home, you are scattered out into the mission field. Don't just go to work to earn a living. Go to work with the gospel. Don't just go to school to get education. Go to school with the gospel. Don't just go to the doctor to get something checked on. Go with the gospel. You see, we are gospel people. Amen? We should be gospel people. We're not just Baptist people. We're gospel people, which to me is more important anyway. Take the gospel with you everywhere you go. So they gave heed. Why? Because Philip obeyed. Philip went to Samaria. That's where they were told to go in Acts 1:8. I want to ask you something. Where is God telling you to go? I'm not telling you where to go. I can't. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But God can tell you where to go. Don't say no to God. How about this? Don't wait till Acts 8:1. Don't have to be forced into it. And God does it in a loving way, though, okay, right? Because God loves us. I use that word force kind of with quotes around it, okay? That's what happened here. They finally woke up. I say today, don't wake up when the persecution, wake up now. God is saying go. Go where? Go with the gospel first where you are. You can't go to the Philippines if you're not going with the gospel now. You can't go to Africa and go to Uganda if you're not going with the gospel now. You can't go to Honduras if you're not going with the gospel now. And Guatemala and El Salvador and all these countries. And go over to Europe with Spain. I love that Kevin met the Reitzels. He actually wrote me a note. Brother Reitzel wrote me a note and said it was a blessing for them to meet Kevin. And so praise the Lord for that. So many places need the gospel. But go where you are now. Go where I am now, Pastor. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. There it is. Notice, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. God did give those early prophets and disciples, not prophets, but preachers and deacons apostles different gifts that we don't have in 2026. But the point is this, they saw Philip, but they saw what God was doing in Philip. So in a sense, they saw God. They saw Christ. So there's no difference in Philip and in you. There's no difference in Philip than in me. We have the same God. You're saved, you have the same Holy Ghost. You have the same Bible. You have more than Philip had, to be honest with you. And we have more than Philip had because we have the entire 66 books into one book. He never had that. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Praise God for that. So people are watching. The point is, I want you to see that, is people are watching. People are watching you go through the valley of the shadow of death. People are watching you go through loss. We just had our third family member buried yesterday in a year and a half. Third family member of the Turners. 30-year-old, my second cousin, Adam. My mom sent me a text and said, Ben, he was in a motorcycle club. There's going to be 200 motorcyclists here escorting his body or escorting whatever to the funeral home. She said after the meeting, he also spent time in the military, in the U.S. military. After the meeting, there was a military guy sobbing outside, sobbing. You don't expect to see a military guy sobbing, right? Military, they kind of have the idea of, you know, tough as nails, you know, eat nails for breakfast, that kind of thing. Never get emotional. Sobbing, my mom went over to him, and she was able to speak some words of help and encouragement to him. You see, people are looking. Everybody goes through tough times. Nobody's immune to it. Why? Because the curse of sin. Right. Why does God allow this to happen? God's not allowing anything to happen in the sense of God didn't do it. God never chose for you to sin or for me to sin. This body, your body, it's under the curse. And I don't mean to be spooky about it, but it's the curse of sin. Praise God, we're going to have a glorified body one day. Amen, amen, sister. We're going to have a glorified body one day. But now, right now, people are looking at you and looking at me like they looked at Philip. Do they see Jesus in you? Hey, that doesn't mean we don't get emotional. It doesn't mean we don't cry. It doesn't mean we don't grieve. We do. But they should see some kind of hope in you and hope in me. Because they're looking at the Lord. They're not looking at me. I want to skip down. A lot happens. And again, remember, this was an audible, okay? Skip down to verse 26. So what happens between verse 5 and verse 26 is this. Philip is preaching and a lot is happening. Many are coming to Christ. You could say there was a spirit of revival there. Much happening. There's some opposition, but God is working. There's a great thing going on. And he's in a big city, by the way, too. If you study it out, Samaria is just thousands and thousands of people that are at arm's length for Philip to reach. But notice what happened. Many of you have read this, but I believe this is for today. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Leave the city and go to the desert. Leave this revival meeting and go to the desert. Leave all the different opportunities that are here in this city and go to the desert. Who's going to be in the desert? What do you call those things that are prickly? Cactuses. You know, I don't know that they had them in their deserts there. I'm just saying that would have been my thing. God, there's a lot of people that still need to be reached. Why am I going to the desert? Well, God always knows what he's doing. Amen. And he arose and went. I love that statement, don't you? Philip arose and went. God said, go. Philip said, okay. How about you today? How about you today? God says, go with the gospel. There's no way that a Christian should not be involved in the gospel work. If you're not involved in the gospel work, I really want to check your pulse of salvation. Seriously. Because if you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost in you, right? Is that true? Do we believe that here? We do believe that here. Whether you do or not, I believe that because it's in the Bible. So if I've got the Holy Ghost in me, that means the Holy Ghost wants everybody that I come into contact with to know about Jesus. Is that true? That's true, by the way. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. If you know it, sing it with me. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Unfortunately, this is the way it goes for many Christians. I'm talking about Jesus less and less. We talk about everything else but Jesus. We talk about everything else but the goodness of God. We complain, and I'm guilty of it. We complain, and this and that. And no, let's not do that. When God says go, let's be like Philip, and let's go. When God says that's the person for today, get over there, go. The devil's not going to tell you to go with the gospel. So if that impulse is there, guess who it's from? The Holy Ghost. We don't have to get scared of the Holy Ghost. He is part of God. Amen? God the Father, God the Son, if you want to go Holy Spirit, maybe ghost spooks you a little bit, but it's in the Bible. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing, same person. Philip, go to the desert. He arose and went to the desert. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come for Jerusalem to worship. I believe this man was a religious man. I believe this man wanted to know truth. I believe this man was searching for something. He went 500 miles, 700 or so kilometers, whatever it is in the conversion there, to worship in Jerusalem. Something was drawing him. Someone was drawing him. I'll tell you who was drawing him. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God drawing that man to go to Jerusalem during the time of the worship that they were going there, and 500 plus miles to get there. Not an easy journey. He's already been there. Now he's headed home. And the Bible says about this man, he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. He's reading the book of Isaiah. He's convicted. He's searching something. There is a desire to know, right? There's a desire to know truth. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. Have you noticed something here? Verse 26, go toward the south. Verse 29, go near. You can't have the gospel without go. Or then it's just a spell. And it's not a spell. Right. It's the truth. There's a lot of spells out there in this world. A good friend of ours, Pastor Nick, over in Idaho, they had their VBS this last week. Clark Fork, Idaho. It's right on the border of Montana. Those of you that have gone to the passage, you've gone right by the church. He was helping this week at camp. Many of you know Nick, Pastor Nick. He was here with a group several years ago. He said this week at VBS, they had two kids at VBS from a Mormon family. They came to VBS every day. Now that's a spell. Mormonism, that's a spell. That's not from God. Mormon people that go to the Mormon, whatever, it's not a church, but the Mormon religious group, they need the Lord. They're not the enemy, by the way. Hello, JWs, they're not the enemy. We have one enemy, okay? But he said those kids listened. He said Friday morning, they do theirs in the morning. Friday morning, he gave a gospel invitation, and he said those two kids raised their hand for salvation. He said, pray that it's, you know, genuine. Pray that he can follow up. They're going to be watching their family dog this week while the family goes away. So there's a relationship being built with this Mormon family. You know why? Because Nick, at some point in his life, several points in his life, God said, go. And Brother Nick, it's not about Brother Nick, but it's about God, okay? But we have to agree. We have to say yes. Nick went to Crown College. Nick went to the passage. Nick went to pastor the church. I'm just saying, little steps along the way, you never know what God has for you. But when God says go and you don't go, and I don't go, guess what? We're missing. We're missing God's perfect plan. Now, God is merciful. Don't get me wrong. God doesn't just throw us away. But don't say no to God too many times. Limit that. Say yes to God. That's what Philip did. Philip, go to the desert. Philip, go to the chariot. I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't make it so complicated. Verse 30. And Philip, note what's the next word? Ran. I circled it. I've had that word circled in my Bible. One day I'm going to run again. Praise the Lord. But I've circled that word ran. He ran. He didn't just mope over there kicking rocks. Oh, why do I have to be in the desert? Why do I have to go here? I was having a great time in Samaria. I was taking that Simon guy, and I was doing loops around him, and he didn't know what was going. He didn't know which end was up. God was giving me great power, and I'm out in the desert. He didn't kick rocks. He ran. He ran to one man. Who do you need to run to this week? God's going to say, go. Don't mope. Smile. They're too big. They intimidate me. No. Go. Go with a smile. Go with the love of God. Go with the gospel. And he ran thither and heard him read. He heard him reading out loud from Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Don't you love these 16:11 words? And we don't really speak quite like that today. That's okay. I love the old English. And he said, how can I? Except some man should, what's the next two words? Guide me. Guide me. Now what he didn't say, and I mean, I'm just using my little bit of imagination here. What he didn't say was save me. Because we can't save him. But what God did put in the word there, inspired word scripture, guide me. He needed a guide. He needed somebody to help him understand, what is this that I'm reading? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Isaiah chapter 53. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth.
In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch said, answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Now, he knew who Isaiah was. No question about that. But who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about some other man? Verse 34. Now, it's elementary, but it's so true. We've got to look at this. Then Philip, the next three words say what? Opened his what? Mouth. Does anybody have a mouth here? If you have a mouth, raise your hand. If your hand's not up, you must be asleep, okay? Some might have a bigger one than others, okay? I'm just saying, you know, some mouths open more, okay? Get more of those pastries and coffee in there, you know? 10 a.m. at the picnic, don't forget. Okay. He had to open his mouth. Now, we can do sign language. I know a little bit of sign language. So you can communicate with deaf people without opening your mouth. A lot of deaf people can read lips. So you can still open your mouth. But you know, last time I checked, there's no way, Brother Colton's sitting down here, that I'm going to be able to tell him something from my mind right over to his mind. Now, he might kind of know what I'm thinking about from time to time because we've worked together for a while. He might be able to narrow it down to five things or something like that, one of them being food at some point, I'm sure. Coffee would be in there somewhere. But for the most part, I'm not going to be able to telepath what I'm thinking to his mind. I'm going to have to open my mouth and say, could you help me? Could you, whatever, right? Or you have a sharp jacket on today, right? I have to tell him that. I have to open my mouth. Philip opened his mouth. See, all along the way, God had been using Philip, and Philip had been obeying God. Each step of the way, God said, go. Philip went. God said, go again. Philip ran. He went, then he ran. Now that he's there and he's been asked a question, he's got to open his mouth. What am I reading about here? What is this? I heard a pastor say this morning that it's almost impossible, literally impossible, for an unsaved person to truly grasp the Word of God because they do not have the Holy Spirit of God. And that's who teaches us the Word of God. Now, the Holy Spirit of God will bring conviction, and he will illuminate his word to the lost that are seeking, which was this eunuch. He wanted to know, what is this? Okay? In conclusion, Brother Kevin. And began at the same scripture. Isn't that something? He said, here, let me have that. Could we just look at that? Let me see that. It's a scroll. Let me see your scroll. And he said, I want to tell you who he's talking about. He's talking about a man that's going to be born over 1,000 years from now. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He preached unto him Jesus. I have no idea how long they were in that chariot. The Bible doesn't tell us. They went on their way. Again, he was a religious man because this religious man knew about baptism. And he says to Philip, here's water. I'd like to get baptized. And we know it wasn't just a cup. We know it wasn't just a basin. In the middle of the desert, there wasn't a basin. What was there? I don't know, some kind of a pond or something like that. Philip said, if you believe, you can get baptized. Notice what he said. Again, we have no idea how long this conversation went. Verse 37, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One Ethiopian eunuch. But wait a minute. We're not here to totally trace all of this, but it's of my opinion that this Ethiopian eunuch, it didn't stop with the Ethiopian eunuch. This Ethiopian eunuch goes back to Ethiopia. And now he's got what? Truth. Why? Because one man left a revival and went to the desert, go and he went, and then go and he ran. And he had no idea who he was sharing the gospel with, and neither do we. They didn't really listen. You don't know that. You don't know that. They just kind of took it and put it in their pocket. You don't know who's going to get that. You don't know that track's going to come out. Maybe mama's going to pull that track out of the pocket before those pants go in the laundry, and mama's going to read it. Oh, what's this? You don't know.
I know this, when God says go, we need to go. When God says go, we need to run. Because there might be one person there. This fella got saved. No question about it. This fella got saved. Born again of the Spirit of God. But he didn't stay there. He went home. He went home, and I wonder what it was like when he got home. I wonder what it was like when he got around his friends. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We can use our sanctified imagination. Guess what? You're not going to believe this. I was coming back from Jerusalem the other day, guys. You're not going to believe this. And out of nowhere, this guy shows up. And he was running toward me, and I was about to think, am I supposed to duck or pucker, you know? What's going on here? He comes running over to the chariot. I'm reading this scroll, my scroll. You know my scroll. You've got one too, right? And he goes, I was reading it. I had no idea what I was reading. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask him, do you know what I'm reading? And he tells that story. Surely he told that story to somebody. I have no idea. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Maybe I'll stand corrected, but I don't think so. And then I think that story went from him, and it went from him to somebody else. And then it went from somebody else and more, who knows how many. Because one man, when it was scattered abroad, he just went. When God said go, he went. And they saw in Philip Jesus Christ. They saw in Philip what they needed. This man saw in Philip what he needed. Today, God has allowed you and me to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this precious book, the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. If you're here this morning, or I know you're here this morning, and if you're here without Christ and you're here right now listening, this is the day to say yes to God for salvation. Amen. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till tonight. Right now, the Holy Spirit of God is in our midst. God is working right now because of this book. Could be anybody standing up here preaching. It's this book that brings about conviction. The Holy Spirit uses the Bible. He does use men to preach it. He does use ladies to teach it. He does use sinners like you and sinners like me who've been saved, like a Philip, to go and take the gospel message and say, here's what you're reading. And if you're not saved this morning, don't wait another day. James says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. This morning, if you know Christ, and it's been a long, long time, it's been too long since you took the gospel to someone. You're just in your own world. Come to church, do my religious thing. I sing a couple songs. I might even put a little tip in the offering plate. And then I'm on my way. You know, I've done my one service a week. I'm a good Catholic. Look, we're not Catholics here. We have church tonight. Hello. We have church tonight. Amen. We have church Wednesday night. We have church Friday night. We have church Sunday afternoon. That's your chance. He said amen. I'm just teasing. Folks. Don't be religious. This is a relationship. Amen. Get in. Get in. Don't just get in a little. Get all the way in. It's good. The water's fine. Jump in. Jesus is worth it. Amen. Jump in and lead the next generation. These youth that have recently been saved and youth that are going back to college and youth that are here in universities that need to serve the Lord as well. Let's lead them the right way. Be a Philip. Believe me, God is not just saying, Pastor, go. Colton, go. Pastor Yassine, go. No, he's saying to all of us, go. You can't have the gospel without go. Let's pray.